complete dependence, dear friends, upon our Lord to help us. I would, by way of text, ask your attention to Hebrews chapter 7, and in particular verse 19. Hebrews 7, verse 19. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. This verse, of course, is testifying of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. And dear friends, there's no other name we can preach for the saving of our souls than the name of Jesus. This morning, we looked at the testimony of Jesus, the shepherd of the sheep. The glorious simplicity of Christ, the shepherd, coming to do all things to save his people, the sheep, from the dreadful consequence of the enemies of sin and Satan. That which would devour us in our nature and keep us from the knowledge of the truth. But he came to give himself a sacrifice for sin. And that voice of his love and mercy goes forth from Calvary. And in the power of the Spirit it is heard by all those whom he said, whom all that the Father hath given me, they shall come to me, and I will no wise cast out. They come as sinners, needing forgiveness of sins. They come to be delivered from judgment, to receive salvation. They trust in that shed blood of Christ on Calvary for the forgiveness of their sins. They look by faith unto Jesus. My sheep, says the shepherd, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And I give unto my sheep eternal life, and none shall pluck them out of my hand. None shall pluck them out of my Father's hand, the one who hath given them to me. For I and my Father are one. Oh, dear friends, what a sacred truth. This is the foundation, isn't it? The foundation of our hope of heaven. What Jesus has done. And oh, for that faith, precious gift by the Spirit of God, to believe in Jesus. To be delivered from the God of this world, who blinds the eyes of so many, but to know that truth, that when our earthly tabernacle of this body lies in the grave, we have an habitation eternal in the heavens through Jesus Christ. I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. And dear friends, to give his life for the sheep, he had to become like those sheep. He had to lay down his life for the brethren. Oh, Jesus, the Son of God, ever of the Godhead, ever God, the only begotten Son of God, in all his power, the power of the Godhead, yet born of the woman, made flesh for the suffering of death, to bear the sins of many, even your sins, my sins. Oh, the vilest sinner out of hell, who lives to feel their need welcome to this throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Dear friends, what sweet promises there are, aren't there? In the testimony of Jesus Christ, his coming to this earth and his work of his death for the putting up the payment of the price for sin and his resurrection to give eternal life, newness of life. He says, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Eternal life. Oh, dear friends, may these things be yours and mine. May we each be one with Jesus, eternally one. Now, Paul, writing to the believing Jews, the Hebrews, deepens, dear friends, who Christ is, the Son of God. He speaks specifically of his priesthood, as well as the sacrifice. The priest, dear friends, is one who stands between man and their God. Christ is the priest, the one who stands between us and Almighty God, the only living God. The first time we read of the word priest in the Bible concerns this mysterious man, Melchizedek. Abraham and Lot had separated. Lot had gone to the land near Sodom and then entered into it. five kings came to fight against other kings, including the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah. And they won the battle, and all of Sodom and Gomorrah was taken captive. And when Abraham heard that Lot and all that he possessed had been taken captive by these ungodly kings, Abraham rose up with his servants, over 300 of them, and went from where he was, which was well deep in the land of Canaan, way up as far as Damascus, chasing to fight these kings and to recover Lot and all that had been taken. And dear friends, the Lord was with Abraham, wasn't he? Although we do not read any prayers of Abraham, he must have trusted in the Lord his God. He must have ventured by faith, because I'm sure 300 servants was far less than all the soldiers of those five kingships. And they won the battle. And then returning back to their place with Lot and all his possessions, there met him this man, Melchizedek, the king of Salem, which really means Melchizedek, means king of righteousness. Without mother, without father, without beginning, without ending. Dear friends, he gave to Abraham a bread and wine. Oh, dear friends, what a type of Christ was this Melchizedek. Early so much in the early parts of the scriptures. Before Isaac was born. And there Abraham, owing thanksgiving and praise, gave tithes unto Melchizedek of all that he'd gained, all of the spoils. Dear friends, what a time that must have been. Abraham's blessing. But Abraham was less than this one who blessed him. He gave him tithes of all he possessed, a thanksgiving from his heart. And then he returned. We don't read of any other priests for quite some time, until the time of Moses, when he went and dwelt with the priest of Midian, when he fled from Egypt. Or should I say there was a priest before that? The priest mentioned of Egypt. When Joseph was exalted to be the second in command in Egypt, when he told the meaning of Pharaoh's dream. Pharaoh gave him the daughter of the wife, of the daughter of the priest of On. So there were priests who stood before the people and their idol gods. Moses was instructed by God to make priests of Aaron and his sons, high priests. And they were kitted out in their dress with and their ornaments with many beautiful things. They were to offer sacrifices for the people, unto God, for their sins. That was the role of the priests, to take of the offerings of the people, and to shed that blood of the sacrifices, the innocent lambs and bullocks and goats, and offer them on the altar before God. The Levites also. Wasn't Moses and Aaron of the Levites? All of the tribe of Levi, dear friends, they were to be helpers to the high priest Aaron and his sons. And we particularly think of the Day of Atonement, which was ordained by God, that on that Day of Atonement, the high priest would have to offer a sacrifice for his own sin, a bullock, and he had to take the blood into the holiest of holies. The only time when he was permitted to go there under the law. And having offered that blood, and if acceptable as it was to God, he was then came out again from the Holy of Holies and sacrificed one of the goats, which was also brought for the offering of the sins of the people. And then the second goat, the priest was to lay his hand upon that goat's head and confess all the sins. And that goat was then led away into the wilderness, signifying the putting away of sin, the forgiveness of all their sins under the law, the outward disobedience of the commands of God. And so that priesthood carried on throughout all the Old Testament, didn't it? It wasn't a continual priesthood of just one person. Each person died, Aaron died, before they reached the promised land. Other high priests were appointed and they died. But there was a continuing priesthood unto the days of Jesus Christ. And oh dear friends, those priesthoods, in the days when Jesus was born, they were solemnly unbelievers in Jesus. They depended upon their own righteousness, upon their own acts, upon their own deeds, upon their own sacrificing, that they were then acceptable to God, acceptable for heaven above. But the word had gone forth in the promise of the coming of the Messiah, the seed of the woman who would bruise the serpent's head. God to provide himself a lamb. Unto us a son is born, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He shall be a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. So it says in the Psalm of David, that psalm which begins, "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand till I make all thy enemies thy footstool." The promise of the Father to the Son to gain the victory over sin and death, to be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And this Melchizedek, King of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, being first by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. What a description of Jesus, the Son of God, made flesh, the King of righteousness. Dear friends, that righteousness which was to be far greater than that of the scribes and Pharisees, the righteousness which they did under the law. Oh yes, there was much done under the law, but that law could not make them perfect. It was an outward, as you might say, type. It was just a mechanical act which was to be fulfilled in all the spiritual meaning of it in Christ Jesus. Dear Francis testifies, doesn't it, of the eternal sonship of God, of Jesus Christ, the eternal sonship of Jesus, without beginning, without ending. Oh, we have many a word in the scriptures which tell us, When Jesus himself said to the Father, "The glory I had with thee before the world began, foreordained before the earth was made to come, to be a high priest and to be a sacrifice for sin." That which was far beyond the power of the law. For under the law there was a covenant, and the covenant was the covenant of works. That law given to Moses, that if they obeyed all things at all times, yes, they would receive the glory of God. But if they were guilty in one point, it was no difference as if they were guilty in all. They were sinners, and they came short of the glory of God. They were into judgment and bound for hellfire. Oh, how solemn was that law when it was given at Mount Sinai. Thunder and smoke and trembling, and the people trembled at it. And dear friends, no one of Adam's race has ever maintained it, have they? Oh, the law could make nothing perfect. The law was there to teach the extent of one's sinfulness. The law was there to show the unrighteousness of ourselves in the flesh. Even those high priests appointed of the Jews, of the Israelites, they were of Adam's race. They were born in trespasses and in sins. And that high priest at the Day of Atonement needed a sacrifice for his own sin under the law. None of them were righteous, no, not one. And that law, even obedience to it for the rest of one's days from when one had committed a sin, could never blot out the guilt. They were sinners. Oh, you've heard me say, haven't you? I'll say it again. If you drive from here to perhaps 100 miles and you pass a speed camera going too fast, it will regard you that you have broken the law. And you keeping the law to within the speed limit of the other nine doesn't blot out the fact that you've already been guilty. Guilty in one point. Same as if you're guilty in it all, you're guilty. And so, dear friends, no matter what we live, seeking to live uprightly as we should do in our lives, all our thoughts, our words, our deeds testify that we are sinners. And we cannot turn to the law to establish our righteousness. We can only seemingly add to our sins, can't we, because of our evil heart within us. For the law make nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. The bringing in of a better hope. Jesus, the high priest, made forever after the order of Melchizedek, the eternal Son of God. Oh, Paul writes a few times concerning this high priesthood of Jesus Christ. Wherefore, in all things, it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. See, a priest had to offer up a sacrifice. It had ever been the case in the Old Testament. And dear friends, here in the New. Oh, the covenant of works has been replaced by the covenant of grace. A new covenant. Where all sins, all iniquities are blotted out. Sins are remembered no more. And that's through the work of one who was made like unto his brethren. Made the sacrificial Lamb of God to lay down his own life. The priest not taking that of an offering of a bullock or goat, but his own soul he poured out unto death to put away the sins of many. As Jesus says, my sheep. Oh, he pardons their sins and remembers them no more, that he may give unto them eternal life. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren. Dear friends, he was made flesh and blood. He had trials and tribulations as we did. He was made sin for us, that in that sacrifice upon Calvary's cross, it was the one guilty, made guilty, imputed to him, imputed the guilt of all his people. He was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, dear friends, what a truth it is in Jesus, isn't it? For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succour them that are tempted. Dear friends, are you tempted? There's no hope for your soul. Are you tempted that your sins, so great they have been perhaps unto today, in the sins of days gone by, are too great to be pardoned, too great to be blotted out? Oh, dear friends, not through this sacrifice for sin of this glorious high priest, one who has beginning and no ending. Dear friends, it doesn't have to be replaced year by year like the old high priests. It doesn't have to come again and again into the Holy of Holies. Oh, he's entered into the holiest. Through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, into the presence of God, presenting all his people whom the Lord gave him faultless through his own shed blood. Dear friends, this is what he now gives. As Abraham received of Melchizedek bread and wine, Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood which is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Yes. Now the tokens we can eat and drink in our flesh. But we partake of the truth by faith in our soul. We partake of this truth as it is in Jesus, his glorious high priest, who has given himself his body, made like unto us, an offering for sin, to cry out, "It is finished, it is finished, the price has been paid. There is no more guilt now upon all those for whom he died." Oh, the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep, this glorious high priest, power to lay down his life, give his body a sacrifice for sin, power to take it again. And dear friends, in that power that is risen and now ascended, we read here is the high priest in heaven above, there ready to receive all those for whom he died when they're called to eternity. Oh dear friends, this is our hope, isn't it? He is the full assurance of our hope. He's able to succour them that are tempted. Oh, dear friends, doubt no more. Oh, what do we read in chapter 4? "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." What's your profession? Can you say, "I profess I'm a child of God, I'm a sheep, one of those sheep of Christ the shepherd"? Can you say that? Then you've heard his voice, haven't you? "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." And dear friends, what a glorious things there are written concerning his sheep. "For we've not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Oh, the Holy Son of God, bearing the sins of many, yet without sin, the innocent Lamb of God. "Then let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Dear friends, what an encouragement that is, isn't it, to a sinner? The name of Jesus, a glorious high priest who gave himself as a lamb, his body, born of the woman, a sacrifice for sin. Yet he, the glorious high priest, unchanging, unchangeable, confirmed that he is the high priest by the oath of the Father. Thou art a Confirm with an oath, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Dear friends, there's only one place we can come. Only one place we ever need to come all the days of our lives. Or when we are tempted and tried, come boldly to a throne of grace. That grace where Jesus, though he was rich in the Godhead, was made poor, as born in the flesh, that we, by his poverty, his sufferings, his death, as he gave himself into the hands of sinners to die on Calvary's cross, that sinners like you should be made rich. Come boldly to the throne of grace, there to obtain his mercy, the pardon of sins, and obtain and find grace to help in the time of need. Oh, that grace of faith to depend upon him more. That grace he gives of wisdom and, oh, dear friends, all we have need of to handle the matters wisely. Oh, he knows what we have need of. He will supply all of our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let us therefore come boldly, seeing we have this glorious high priest passed into the heavens. He's gone to prepare a place for you, his sheep. There he'll receive you unto himself. Oh, we read of it a bit further. Paul has it a glorious theme, doesn't he? Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, a new and living way. Oh, we have a living way, we believe, in the flesh upon this earth, don't we? We've come from the day of our birth until now, a living way. But Christ came in to give, but we might have life, have it more abundantly. A spiritual way, a way that will never end, that will never end in death. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Oh, pleading that sin-atoning blood for the cleansing of our soul, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us, or as the margin says, newly made for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled with an evil, have our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water, and let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. He is faithful that promised. Oh, dear friends, the Lord Christ has promised that all that come unto him, he will in no wise cast out. He has promised that all those that the Father had given him and come unto him, he will raise them up again at the last day. They won't be subject to the final judgment of God of depart from me, ye cursed. Oh, Christ hath said, through his glorious death and his resurrection, I have put away thy judgments. Thou shalt not see evil any more. Yeah, dear friends, he is our hope of eternal life, isn't it? The law could not make anything perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God, pleading that precious name, pleading his righteousness. Oh, dear friends, when we read of him as King of righteousness, yes, those sinners saved by his grace. They call him, don't they, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. None of one's own. We haven't got anything to plead aright before God at the judgment day, have we? No. The righteousness of Christ is obedience to the Father, in that he gave himself a sacrifice for sin. And the Father, testifying of his Son, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He's conquered the power of sin. He's conquered Satan. He will be destroyed forever in hellfire. And those for whom Christ died will live in glory forevermore. What a division. King of peace. What a peace, dear friends, there is that passeth understanding. When this truth as in Jesus is revealed in our heart by the Holy Ghost, that in spite of all things and all troubles and tribulations and trials and temptations which come to pass, nothing can take away that peace which is the love of Christ shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. He who shed his blood, gave his body a sacrifice for sin, that upon which we feed. Oh, dear friends, we bring him thanksgiving, don't we? We're to give him all, not the physical tithes like of the Old Testament, but we're to give him all the service we can to walk to the honour and glory of his praise. Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, but to be made sin for us, as that good shepherd who giveth his life for the sheep. Oh, what a testimony we have in the scriptures of Jesus Christ, don't we? The Son of God, by which we draw nigh unto God. It'll be so in that last day, won't it? Draw nigh unto God, not cast out, but come, thou blessed of the Father. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord, and there to abide for evermore. Well, may these truths, dear friends, abide in our heart. May they be blessed by the Holy Spirit. May they be truth within us and strengthen us for life's pathway. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. For the law made nothing perfect. There's our guilt. But the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God, by our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.